or co-education, a mixed school.
Yes, yes.
And that did bring in not a lot of money, because that sort of book never does.
Yes.
But it did bring in a good many contacts, and that was another source. I was very often able to bring these people into contact with the citizenship thing, because that did have, well, not a large scale, certainly not, but it did have a good deal of influence, I think.
So that gave you another set of connections.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
But you were saying before we switched off that it was very well run from the top, the association.
Oh, well, I think that's true. But that was partly because Eva was a very good manager. She was a far better manager than you might have gathered from what I was saying about her being a little bit domineering sometimes. That was a minor thing. The major thing was that she got her heart and soul in this job and was doing it very well. And if we trod on each other's corns occasionally, she and I, well, what are corns there for, but we trod on.
What was she specially good at, would you say? What were her strengths?
Well, knowledge, I think. She did know. Any brief she had, she knew. She could tell you all about the population thing, which was on the fringe of our things. She could tell you the latest results and so forth. She was a blue book in many ways. You knew, of course, of the Webs.
Yes.
Yes, well, she was that type. Tremendous collector of information, and that's very valuable. Whether she was so good at knowing what to do with the information when she'd got it, I'm not so sure. But she collected it all right, and you could never catch her out on any question of facts or figures or anything like that.
And she was also good at knowing who was the right person to contact.
Yes, 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 she was. I think that's very, very true.
Mm. Did she have a sense of humour? Did you laugh a lot?
No, nor did Simon very much.
Rather serious they were.
Yes, they? Yes, they were. It was rather serious. And I wouldn't have said that, but you brought it up first.
A bit intense, really, in a way.
Yes, yes, they do. That was it. But mine, after all, it was a time when we jolly well ought to have been intense.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Well, I mean, here was this fellow, Hitler. Well, is he any more or less bust in the world? Mm. And we were very well aware of that, and we were doing all we could to arouse people to that sort of thing and to make them really feel that they could take have some influence on decisions and so on.
I
don't regret a minute. We
No, it was a very, very dangerous period of English history, that,
well,
wasn't it?
Yes.
But so it was run like that from the top, really, rather informally, over dinner parties with Simon, really, in a way, and personal friendships.
Yes.
What happened lower down?
Possibly on a certain, just some special topic. Somebody would say, well, there would be, you see, quite a nucleus of intelligent people here who were more or less agreed on objectives. Well, when you've got that, the thing always goes quite well.
So you had a number of connections with schoolmasters?
Oh, yes, yes.
In various
arts? Yes, I think I came into that a lot myself, because a few people liked me, and a good many people didn't like me, but I was getting known at that stage, you see. Well, this, after all, you can imagine, was a red rag to a bull for some people. If you put this in the hands of a very reactionary thinking person, they'd think it was terrible. But there were others, of course, who liked it. After all, that was the first, that was curious, the first English, first book written in English about
co-education.
Yeah, about co-education. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. About,
your own school was a mixed school.
Yes, 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 mixed school.
Yeah.
I'm not quite clear really now how I got it. I do remember that. Yeah, how I can go on for a bit, but do you want to give us stick time?
No, fine. How all the paperwork was done? Did you have your own secretaries then?
We used Simon's secretaries. You always never had less than two, was there no more. The important one was Miss Green, and she would do almost anything for us, provided Simon okayed it, you see.
And they were at his flat, were they?
No, they were more often in Manchester.
I see.
And they would come down when he came down to London. I think he was down in London three or four times a month, something like that. There was never any short of anything short in the way of clerical assistance. Of course, that was a great help.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in a way, the whole thing is financed by him.
Yes,
isn't it,
yes. Oh, yes, that's quite true.
Yes.
Not at the very finish. But then it was more or less, we were more or less fading. Mm. I was not able to go on writing. Well, you see, the whole picture, the whole setup was ruined by the war.
Mm. Yeah, who produced The Citizen, actually? Was that produced by his secretaries?
I didn't even know there was a Citizen.
You know, the journal. You had a journal for about 4 years.
Yes, we did. Mm. As I can't remember who it was probably Mrs. Hubbard.
Yes.
Eva Hubbard.
Yes, yes. So anyway, that was all done by them. So then you organised sort of meetings of teachers, really?
Oh, yes, a lot, yes. Mm. I was rather more to the fore in that. We used every year for 4 or 5 years in succession in the immediate post-war period to Dayton Friends Meeting House, which has an auditorium of 900 or 1,000, and produce a kind of show then, a debate on some topic of the hour. In fact, that was our propaganda. The sixth formers, the heads of schools were glad to let the sixth formers come, because otherwise they were kicking their heels, doing nothing with the examination out of the way, you see. And they were, I think, very useful things, but there was nothing permanent about it.
And gradually it sort of faded out.
Gradually it faded out.
Because you said, I think, in your letter that you think the association died of its own success.
I think up to a point that was true.
Mm.
Early on, people would have said to us, politics, you must have politics in schools. Of course, they're always mixing up politics with party politics, you see. Well, we heard very little about that later. I mean, you couldn't live in the 1940s and stick rigidly to the rule that you must never discuss politics in school because you might offend somebody.
Well, it was the same on the BBC at the time, wasn't it? They tried to keep things, controversial things off the BBC.
Yes, they did.
Well, it's a curious sort of thing.
Yes, I know, but it's not easy to see what they could have done sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
No, that's really most interesting. But as far as your own career was concerned, what effect did all this have on your own career, really?
Oh, you say. I had to make my way the whole time. But I was fortunate in one or two things. One was I got into the examiner's circle. In mathematics, that's a fairly small, closed shop. If you're doing it at A level, it's far more significant at a lower level. But I was doing it at A level, other also some O level too, and done like that. It was quite well paid. Oh, and I also I ran the Essex 11 plus Hayden examination for 30 years. I did it the whole time, and it did its job. Anybody who says it can't be done just doesn't know the facts.
Did you actually see Eva Hubbard after the war?
Not much, no.
Do you remember your last meeting with her, for instance? She died about 1949.
Yes.
I think.
No, I don't think I couldn't say.
You didn't really have a lot of contact with her?
No, not doing it, no. Mm.
The war, you say, completely messed up the organisation, did it really?
Well, it did really. I mean, we had all our own files to go through. The people, some of the people were dead, others couldn't be contacted. And, well, the truth is that while if Simon withdrew £500 every year, it makes a gap in your finances, you see.
He just couldn't afford it.
Well, I put it rather this way. He was selective in what he did. He was very keen to campaign against the atom bomb. I don't wonder at that. But his interests all went that way.
Yes. Mm.
And he thought that now perhaps we'd stirred everybody up.
Mm. He was moving on to something else.
He was moving on to something else, yes. Mm. Mm. He was a good...
Yes.
Like that.
So what do you think, looking back on that bit of your life, you know, it's only one bit of your life, isn't it? What do you think about it in retrospect? And do you think
I feel we did what we all that we could do. It really and truly, if you have somebody like Hitler rampant in the world, you can't expect to to get away with it without a great deal of trouble and so on. I think we did all we could, and there you are.
Had you ever been to Germany, any of you? Did you observe it from first hand?
I've been very much of a stay-at-home. Belgium, France and Switzerland. Now, Switzerland I will go to with anybody at any time at almost any expense. But
you need some money to go there now.
I'm afraid one does this. God, you need also some mental stamina, which I haven't got now. You'll have seen for yourself. Three or four times I just lost my way.
Yes, well, we all do that, but I mean, you know, when one's 80 or so, naturally one can't be on top of one's head. About the women teachers, I mean, presumably this was an entirely co-educational thing, the agency, wasn't it? I mean, there were no sex barriers.
Oh, not at all.
Anything
not
like
all.
That.
But,
so. Presumably your writing that book helped rather.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's quite true.
Mm.
Mm. It was a very curious thing that although there had been, before my mixed school there had been quite a lot of, how am I going to put the thing? There were two on it. Yes, I remember this. That was the first book written in English about what might be called aided grammar school co-education. And it's odd that it was written by a Frenchman. I think he wrote it for a thesis in the Sorbonne or something. Which is the kind of thing, presumably, Mr. Whitmarsh. I didn't know he was.
Well, I mean, he's now teaching at one of the a description of man in all his dimensions.
Yes. And the thing which particularly affects citizenship are in the last two chapters.
Mm.
Where the deal the man's...
So I suppose Simon would be attracted by the amalgam of science and art.
Yes, he would.
Because your chapters are The Man and the Universe, Chapter 2, The Growth of Man's Body, Chapter 3, The Growth of Man's Mind, Chapter 4, The Growth of Man's Religion, Chapter 5, The Growth of Man's Society, Chapter 6, Progress, Chapter 7 and 8, The Use of Man's Mind. So it's a very broad canvas.
That's what it was meant to be, but it was never any attempt to get rid of specialisms, but only to moderate them. Who was it who said once, talked about the monstrous regiment of the monstrous regiment of women. That was the, I was feeling when I wrote that, about the monstrous regiment of specialism in schools.
Interesting, what led you to write this book? How did you conceive it?
Sixth form talks, chiefly.
Mm.
At the end of the First World War, I was teaching at Warwick, and mathematics, of course, but also I was in the head's house, and you know, we were encouraged to get going on what we could. And I happened to have a sixth form with five or six really intelligent boys in it. And they would meet in my study for coffee and that sort of business. And I felt then how limiting this thing is. Haven't they ever broadened the thing out at all?
Well, I think they are now. I mean, they are now.
Yes, yeah. In a way you might say they've overdone it.
Yes.
Because there is a... you can overdo that. You can't. There's no real substitute for a real hard slog at the basis of things, and there you are.
Yeah.
And that, I think, myself, is what will ultimately prove that the comprehensive things are having very great difficulties.
Mm. So it really grew out of that one sixth form, did it?
Yes, yes, it did. Well, after that, they seemed to want more. And, I was quite young and confident and so on, and if they wanted some more, I was prepared to give them some more. That's what it grew out of. Yeah.
So then you carried on that at the school in Deptford?
Yes. And people used to come and see it there.
Didn't they?
Yes. But I couldn't do that now.
You've done made a very important achievement. I mean, it amalgamates, really, biology, social anthropology, politics, and what we now call sociology. I mean, they didn't speak of sociology so much then, did they?
No. If you're going to borrow that...
I'll read it in the Bodleian Library, if I may, because,
I think you'll see that what the dates are about, right?
Yes, well, the date of this edition is 1934. It says first published 1933,
It was a second edition.
That's right.
And
after that,
they went on printing just as long as they could.
Yes.
Get the public.
That's most interesting, Mr. Howard. Thank you. And I'll read it in Bodleian Library. It's called Our Own Country, published by Pittman in 1948.
Well, the point was, I was pressed very hard to write a sequel to The Proper Study by Sir... What's that man's name? The LCC Chief Inspector.
Yes.
And I didn't want to do it because I knew I... understood what I was talking about in the sixth form.
It's Graham Savage, I think.
That's Graham, that's it. But I wasn't confident that I could get my tongue around the idiom of the 5 or 10 years later. And so I was prepared to turn that down. But then, he got round me to do it. And he said, you see, it's such a pity when you've got it to this point. And these people are at a certain stage, you know, going to take them on from the age of 16. We've got nothing really good to follow it up for the younger people. Well, I was sorry about that, but it wasn't my line.
Mm.
But
so it didn't sell very well, this one?
No, it didn't sell very well at all.
Because it's quite a different book. I mean, the chapters are on being self-reliant, and then to the Great Society, three, the public services, four, the post office, five, the democratic state, and six, the duty of citizen towards the state. So it's much more political.
Oh, yes, it is much more.
Mm.
But I regard that one as a failure, and I regard the Proper Study as, I'm rather fond of it.
So
I'm prepared to overlook its blemishes.
One thing I forgot to ask you, actually, Mr. Howard, was what was the formal structure of the association in the early years? I mean, was there a council or what?
Yes, but it kept on changing. What did they call it? They called it a general council, but they packed so many celebrated names on it, everybody going around again, that in the end it would, it lost its effect. And then they invented another title, and I forget what the thing was.
Executive Committee, was it?
Something like that, yes. And...
So really the formal structure doesn't bear any real relation to the actual structure of power.
No. If you wanted to know who had the most influence in the general shape, it would be Simon and it would be Eva Hubbard. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And I would join in if they wanted a paper written about something or another that I either knew about or could mug up. I got a certain amount of respect for I can't quite get that, but I would have said to begin with, you can't do decent writing in a committee. Decent writing is done by individuals who feel strongly about it, so on. I just a little bit wonder now whether that was so. Because I think a draft was, the first stage would be, it was settled that we were going to write something about economics or something. Then they would get an answer to me and say, can you do something with this? And then at a later stage, I would produce something, perhaps a month later, and then it would be vetted by everybody, you see. There would be one of Simon's dinners, and after dinner one would produce this, and everybody would add a bit, subtract a bit, and so on. You had to fight quite hard for your own corner, and generally I did. But
so it was genuinely collective.
Oh yes, yes. I think it was as much collective as you could expect a thing to be.
That's very interesting, because I agree with you, it is very difficult writing collective things, but on the other hand, you want to throw the ideas together and get them all on one topic. Did Lord Simon ring you up and say, you know, we're going to talk about the teaching of economics this week, or whatever? Would it work like that?
It could work like that, only it would be much more probably, it would be Eva Hubbock who would do that.
She'd choose the topics.
Really. Yes, but she might have been instructed or asked at the last meeting of the executive committee to see what could be done in a certain direction, you see.
So you really had rather an interesting discussion after the dinner, did you?
Oh, yes.
It was really quite interesting.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it could be. And as I say, Simon did that very well indeed. He had an instinct, I suppose it came from business training, I don't know, of letting people talk and gradually focusing what they had to say in the end. And then with that practically meant that I got my instructions to get on with it and see what could be done.
And Miss Green, the secretary, didn't have any real part in substance.
I don't think she did at all. I only met her once or twice. Because he kept her rather in Manchester, actually.
What about Sheena Simon? I mean, did she not have any direct
part? No, she wasn't. She didn't figure in the citizenship thing really at all. She was, at the moment, chasing certain other educational hares, some of which I agreed with, some of which I didn't agree with. But she wasn't actually, she was probably just an ordinary member of the association, but she wasn't active in it at all.
Because she was a great character in her own right, wasn't she?
Oh, yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Well, I ought to have asked you a little bit about your earlier life. I mean, you went... could you tell me just a bit about how you got to Sydney Sussex College?
Yes.
And what's your personal history, really?
Well, I was at the Taunton School, Southampton, which is one of the two grammar schools, and... as Queen's College, Oxford, has a great deal of property in Southampton, they founded some time ago a Southampton exhibition, you see. Well, this one every year, and it was considered by my school that I would have a snip for that, as there's only one other school competing, and one anyway. And I went to Oxford full of pleasure being invited up, you see, and I was given a cup of tea, which I was not used to having before I took an examination paper. I felt extremely grown up. The only trouble was I didn't get the scholarship, because there was another fellow in who was later a professor of mathematics. He knew more than I did, you see, that's just as simple as that. So that was very sad, because I was expecting to get the scholarship, and also I think it would be rather difficult for my people to manage without some sort of grant at all. But so I thought, looked round a bit, this won't do at all. and I discovered that Sydney, like three or four of the Cambridge colleges, had a little group immediately after Christmas to pick up the people really who didn't get in on the December arc. You must know all about that. And I got a scholarship there.
And that was to read mathematics?
Oh yes, to read mathematics. But I must say my tutor, when he wrote and told me about it, did say something about an English essay that he thought it might have turned the scale or something. So
so you were good at writing even then?
Well, I suppose he thought I was, yes.
But you seem to have been a very imaginative school teacher, if I may say so. I mean, where did you get that from? Were your parents an important influence on you in that way? Or
my father, I think, was, yes. Mm. Yes, he was. Mm. He was a self-made man, free from the terrible failing of a self-made man, that he gets so very pleased with the way he's made himself. If you can avoid that self-gain...
You have a strong character without the limitations,
yes,
of...
I think he did, to a large extent, yes. Mm. Well, that was that, and then I got to Sydney, and after that, and I took a first in Part 1 of the mathematical type teaching, which is, yes, but as you know, Part 1 is not the difficult bit.
Mm.
When it came on to Part 2, I was only a senior op, second. Mm. And that was that. Well, then I was rather disgusted by that, because so far I've been a bit spoiled. I've gone in for things and generally got them. So I thought, well, there's one thing. When I was at school, in my last term, I read some quite a bit of English on its own then, and other things. And then I thought, no, I shan't know enough for that. I've got my intermediate BA at London's, so why not go and polish it off and produce all the mathematics which I'd already tried on Cambridge, try it on London. And there I got the first, you see.
Did you really? Well, you took, did you take that the year after? Then
no, I took it in November or December of the year when I started teaching at Warwick.
Did you really?
Yes.
So how long after your leaving Cambridge was that then?
Oh, a matter of a few months at all.
Goodness.
Yes, at all.
Goodness.
So that, well, yes, but it was a second shot, you see. It was a Cambridge one I really wanted.
But you never had any doubts about going into school teaching? I mean,
that was not what you
wanted to do, was it?
Well, after I tried it. Mm. I tried it for a bit, the end of the summer term. I took the TRIPOS and then went on to teach a bit, you see.
Was it not at Warwick?
Yes, it was at Warwick.
Warwick.
And I liked it very much. Mm. And I thought, well, I'll go on with this. I went on with this, and that was that.
So what was your father actually, Mr. Howard?
School manufacturer, the scale manufacturer.
Yeah. And he really was completely self-made, was he?
Well, I would say he was, yes, mm. Yes.
Was a non-conformist, was he? Or
yes, that type. The earnest working type, I would say. Mm. Mm. He's...
So he was really the important influence on you, rather than your mother?
I think, in fact, yes. Mm. I think she wanted perhaps... Yes, I would say that was so.
And he was a liberal, I suppose.
Oh, yes, he was a liberal. Oh, yes, he was a liberal, right. Yes. Just quite as simple as that now, is it?
No. I mean, religion...